Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up on our program tomorrow, we'll talk about how to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And also Steve Martin will be with us tomorrow. We'll talk about his new novel about the New York City art scene and why his recent appearance at the 92nd Street Y was apparently too artsy for the audience. That's Steve Martin and How to Repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell tomorrow morning here on The Brian Lehrer Show. Right now, NJN, the state-owned public radio and television network in New Jersey, apparently will still be on the air come January 1st. On Friday, Governor Christie signed legislation that will allow the state-run New Jersey network to begin the process of privatizing. The new law is kind of a stay of execution for the 130 NJN employees who are facing layoffs, but what the new private company might look like and how it will be funded going forward is still very much up in the air. Dudley Burge, the senior staff representative for the Communications Workers of America, Local 1032, who has represented the NJN employees for more than 15 years, joins us now to update us on the situation. Dudley, thanks for coming on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi, good morning.
And for those of our listeners who are not based in New Jersey or might not rely on NJN for their major media or news coverage, what is NJN exactly?
Well, NJN was formed in the late 60s, and really it was formed because of the failure primarily the commercial television stations to cover New Jersey really at all. Although there are 12 commercial television stations that are licensed in New Jersey, none of them really cover the state. They cover New York or they cover Philadelphia. And the economics are such that it seems as though that was always going to be the situation. And there's also been really kind of a failure of the WNET, which is licensed in Newark, New Jersey, to really adequately cover New Jersey.
So also Channel 9 among the commercial stations also, right?
Yes, right. Yeah, absolutely. So the legislature set up New Jersey Network to and for the state to hold the licenses and operate as a state agency to make sure New Jersey gets covered. And so, you know, they do documentaries about New Jersey and a nightly news show, which is pretty unusual for public broadcasting for at the local level.
And while the bill keeps NJN on the air, I gather it leaves open the possibility of selling its 9 FM radio frequencies. That's the radio side. Might they sell those to the commercial sector, or are they going to remain public radio one way or another?
It seems unlikely they would be able to sell on the commercial side because the licenses are really limited by the Federal Communications Commission to what usage they can be put to. So they have to, they're restricted to non-commercial usage. So they're going to remain in that form, and it really just hasn't been decided yet whether they will remain as part of NJN, sold to someone else, or some kind of consortium of public radio broadcasters.
And television, you know, there was once a WNYC television, like mm-hmm. we are WNYC radio, back in the days, a long time ago, when WNYC was owned by the city of New York, just as NJN is owned by the state of New Jersey. And when Mayor Giuliani decided to get the city out of the broadcasting business, he arranged for WNYC Radio to go to a private not-for-profit foundation, as we are now. But WNYC Television was sold to a commercial company, and it was lost as a public television station. It became commercial television, Channel 31. Is there a chance that could happen with NJN TV?
Much less likely, because the WNYC TV situation was a little unusual, because although it was a public station, the license was actually for commercial usage. So
it would allow either, though it was being run as a public station.
Right. And that's not the case with NJN television.
And the bill assures that whoever takes over NJN maintains a New Jersey-centric mission. That's written into the law now.
Yes, and I think more importantly, what was in the bill that we are very pleased about is that it indicates that the licenses will continue to be held by the taxpayers of the state, And from our point of view, that's really the only way to ensure that you're actually going to have New Jersey coverage, because that's just been our history in New Jersey.
What'll happen to the employees on January 1st?
Well, on Friday, they were told that they were to come to work on January 1st, if they're scheduled for that. But it was really a very strange situation. They were also told, we've delayed the layoff. The layoff notices are still in effect, but we don't know when we might lay you off. So, I'm a little Kafka-esque.
And will they get overtime if they come to work on January 1st? It's a holiday.
Yeah, those people that do, they either get overtime or unless that's, you know, their regular scheduled day.
I know that just sort of for full disclosure here, WNYC has issued a statement saying we're hopeful that NJN's properties will emerge from this current situation as vital operations that can meet the programming needs of the citizens of New Jersey. We stand ready to help in any way we can. Are there, as far as you know, various entities vying for the licenses for either radio or television?
There are. From what we understand, there is sort of a loose group consisting of WNET and a fellow by the name of Steve Alabato Jr., who has an independent production group and does some New Jersey public affairs programming. There's some of the state colleges, Stockton College outside of Atlantic City. We've heard that Montclair outside of Newark, which has a broadcast program for their students.
Montclair State?
Yes. Mm-hmm. There's also a foundation for New Jersey Public Broadcasting, which has been the fundraising arm for the network, which is interested. And then there, I think, are lots of other possibilities. And, I understand that WNYC might be interested in some of the radio licenses. And I will say that of all the kind of public broadcast suitors, WNYC seems to do the most New Jersey coverage, kind of have some bona fides that way, and clearly is the most successful financially, which is a big concern for some of the others.
And funny enough, there was a lot of concern back when the city let WNYC go, but it turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to us. It's just become a much more dynamic place, as a lot of the listeners know, in terms of what we've been able to do once we weren't owned by the government anymore, but rather by an independent not-for-profit foundation. So are you optimistic about post-state NJN or more concerned?
I think that's really up in the air. Like I said, we're happy the licenses are going to remain with the state. But I think there's a very big question about what kind of quality there's going to be. In the case of WNYC, you're in New York. There's a very vibrant nonprofit and fundraising possibilities. People put up money to buy the license from the city. For instance, the foundation, the fundraising arm of NJN, wanted to take it over, but they wanted it for free, which, it just kind of says to us that there's a difference between New York and New Jersey in terms of the fundraising.
Gosh, you would think right now people would be busting down the doors to send news crews to Trenton and cover Chris Christie.
You would. But it's the opposite with, our newspaper sector in New Jersey, which was really strong, has really decimated. The New York Times no longer has a bureau. Star Ledger had several rounds of major layoffs. And, the local television, which has never been that great, they've seen some scaling back, too. So, that is a concern. Clearly there's a lot of money in New Jersey that funds could be raised. But there's also just a question of are we going to be able to get there? What's going to happen to the people there now that, they know television, they know how to run a television station, they know New Jersey, they've been doing the reporting. Just the way this is being rolled out, it's difficult. In Oregon, which is kind of another place one of the few places that converted from a state agency to a nonprofit. It was done over a 10-year period of time. And, you know, they've done pretty well. In Hawaii, it was done very suddenly, and the state funding was cut. And I think two-thirds of the staff were lost. Practically all the local programming ceased. So that's a concern. And, you know, when you have things like this kind of unknown layoff date, unknown date of when, you know, operations may not continue, it does two things. One, it's devastating for staff and morale, but even more because, you know, in the state sector, it's not like in broadcast in the private sector where you want to downsize and often they'll buy people out. There's different rules that apply. There isn't any kind of buyout. And folks actually, if they don't take the retirement before they get laid off, may lose their health benefits. So, you know, almost forcing people to retire.
So it's a tough situation, obviously, for the workers at NJN and a situation of risk for the viewers who've come to depend on NJN programming for news and other things. And we have to leave it there for now. Story unresolved with the status of NJN changing somehow on January 1st. Dudley Burge, Senior Staff Representative for the Communications Workers of America, Local 1032. He's represented the NJN employees for more than 15 years. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We have a tax advisor coming up next for the last 10 minutes or so of the program today to give you free advice on how to take advantage of the new tax law. What will actually change now that this tax cut compromise has been enacted by Congress and President Obama? We will get specific for your benefit, we hope, coming up in a minute.